Exciting news from the EAN. Since January 2025, EAN Campus is open to all associate members. If you're part of a National Neurological Society in Europe, you may already have access. Just log in with your MyEAN account at eancampus.org and explore top quality content. More details in the episode description.
Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello and welcome to EAN Cast and the Week in Neurology. My name is Dr. Nihat Mustafayev and I am a neurologist based in Istanbul, specializing in the movement disorders and neuromodulation therapies. Today, I am really excited because we have joined a truly distinguished guest, Dr. Anna Castagna. She's one of the leading experts in the movement disorders, particularly known and works on botulinum toxin and rehabilitative strategies. She's currently head of the Movement Disorders Center and Fondazione Don Carlo Gnocchi in Italy. So, Dr. Castagna, it's such a pleasure to see you. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you. Fine. I'm very well. And thank you so much for your kind words. I'm very happy to be here today. And I hope our talk will be useful for our colleagues. And I'm very happy to be here.
Today, we will discuss about highly relevant and practical for our neurology colleagues. It's how combining ultrasound and EMG dystonia is that make the improving the accuracy and effectiveness in the botulinum toxin injections. What you suppose about it? And firstly, my question is, what is dystonia? And can you explain it simply about it and what's affecting in everyday lives?
Yes, thank you for your question. So dystonia is a movement disorder characterized by abnormal movements and posture, and the movement can be twisting or tremulous with usually a repetitive pattern. And they can affect various body regions, and also the age of onset can be variable. In some patients, it's a rare disease connected with the genetic cause. The difficulty is that there are muscle spasms that can be visible in a different region of the body, and they can be also associated with pain and discomfort. And all this phenomenology can have, of course, a negative impact on daily life activities of the patient and also can cause a social distress and working problems. Yeah.
Thank you very much. And my second question is about what's your perspective about why treating dystonia is a challenge? What's the main purpose of this?
Yeah, so since the phenomenology can be very heterogeneous and also variable in the same patient, so many muscles can be involved in the abnormal movements or posture, and so it's unusually necessary a personalized treatment, a so-called tailored treatment. And so from my point of view, often multimodal, also a multidisciplinary approach with drugs, botulinum toxin injection, and also DBS can be considered. And also the difficulties is that in some region like neck, for instance, we will speak later on about neck, there is a redundancy of muscles that are involved in the same movements. So sometimes it's difficult when injected botulinum toxin to make the right choice and to target the right muscles.
Yeah, you have answered very completely. And I want to ask, what's the experience about what's the limitation of the doing it in the palpation or EMG when you do the EMG injections and when you do palpations?
Yes, so traditionally we started, I must say also, I started many years ago, I must say nearly 30 years ago, injecting without any guide because we were not supposed to use them. At the beginning, we used landmarks, anatomical landmarks and palpation. And of course, we could, in a way, be intuitive in the selection of muscles because we were looking for hypertrophy, for pain, and so the treatment could be, of course, useful for the patient, but with some limitation, of course, without guides. And Also, when we went through the use of EMG, that was, of course, very important. But I must say that also clinical approach from the beginning, it's necessary. So never forget to palpate, even if you use guides. It's useful to touch the patient and to see if there is a tender area or painful area. But of course, with EMG, you have more data for selection of the muscles, and I'm fond of EMG, I've always been. But of course, there are some limitations, as you said, because there are overlapping muscles. Sometimes we have different muscle layers, and so you are not sure if you hear a pathological activation, if you are in a muscle or on the other, because an anatomy can be different in different subjects. So you never know if you don't see properly the muscle, which is the muscle you are recording. No, so that's why we need a combination with ultrasound.
Thank you very much. Could you share an example? You said before, but can you make it details? When we use the both ultrasound and EMG together to really improve the patient outcomes, what you think about it?
Yes, I must say that ultrasound is a very practical way of looking at the patient, so enable real-time visualization of muscle anatomy. And also you can do a reconstruction of a three-dimensional reconstruction of the muscle from origin to insertion. And this is useful when you have spasm, contraction of the muscles. Of course, even if it takes some time to learn this technique, but you can see well fibrosis and avoid vessel, glands, nerves. And so in some cases, it's absolutely necessary to have both guides. As you said, that the combination can also provide better outcomes. For instance, in the neck, when you have co-contraction of muscle, when you have to select compensatory muscles, so you need to localize them and also to hear or to see the EMG activities. And when you have to target deep muscles, is absolutely necessary, in my opinion. When you have to target a flexor of the fingers, for instance, like flexor digitorum profundus in musician dystonia, in writer's cramp, you need both techniques. And also for the obliquus capitis inferior, you need to see exactly where you put your needle, even if there are not many risks, and also targeting usually deepest muscles, you need ultrasound. But we can say that from my point of view, it's useful for all the maneuver. I mean, when you target muscle, it's always nice to see where you put your toxin.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I will add on one more question in the intermittent. So, in your clinical side, which EMGs are you using for guiding normally? Is the patient's complicated? Is there any, like, can be Nocorten, two-channel Corten, Neurosoft, and which one you are using normally?
Yes, I can use also a machine, a normal machine, where I perform an EMG, a diagnostic EMG, but also there are small machines there are different types, and you can hear the sound of the muscle. And I think the auditory signal is very important for injectors, just to learn to learn how is the sound of the dystonic muscle, because sometimes you don't need to do a deep analysis of the signal in when you perform injections, of course, but it's important to hear the sound of the spasm, of the paradoxical activation. If you ask the patient to, for instance, rotate the head on the opposite side when you are recording a rotator muscle, or also you can hear tremulous activation of myoclonic activation, and you can understand that learning day by day, the use of EMG, you can easily recognize when you need when there is an abnormal activation and you need to inject. So I think you don't need to do very important course of EMG. You just need some guidelines to recognize the pathological activation.
I have one question about what you offer for colleagues or trainees who have a new to that injections and want to make it in ultrasound. What kind of training or practical steps would you recommend to get started for our colleagues?
Yes, I usually recommend to study anatomy. Anatomy is the first step. It's mandatory to know anatomy very well, singular region of the body, and you can use atlases. There are many apps and websites. Young doctors, I always recommend to study also radiological atlases that are made on cadavers' bodies, preparations, and also I recommend, if it is possible, to do a cadaver lab experience and also to practice on colleagues, on, you know, it's useful on ourselves also. We can start improving our knowledge just using the tools, and it takes some time, as I said, to learn, but once the experience is there, it's very easy to use ultrasound machine.
For your opinion, and in your daily practice, when do you rely on palpation, and when do you use EMG, and when it's worth to X-ray for combined EMG and ultrasound? Is it good for you, or is the time best?
I think that it depends on the approach you have been using for most of the time. Of course, the experience is very important. If you are not experienced in ultrasound, maybe you are very experienced in EMG, so you can have your best treatment also using EMG. Of course, you can add some more information if you also use ultrasound, even if you are a very expert injector with EMG. And it's worth also improving every time the knowledge and the possibility to help the patient in the best way. But sometimes I just palpate, for instance, for pain. It's very important to inject also painful areas, in particular in cervical dystonia. So I also sometimes ask the patient, there are triggers points, tender points, and so I test them and I inject. And also, for instance, the sternocleidomastoid muscle can be injected. I think this is the most superficial muscle. We can also palpate and keep between fingers. But I usually, if I don't have any guide, EMG guide, I should have, I must say, but I ask the patient to flex the head and rotate the head to elicit the activation of the muscle and to also increase the muscle belly, because otherwise can be a bit dangerous injecting without doing these maneuvers. But of course, you can understand that I recommend, this is my philosophy, and I recommend the use of guide, because you can really, you know, create a kind of algorithm in your mind. So I mean, also we published in 2019 in Neurology Clinical Practice a very practical paper with the Professor Albanese about the algorithm of injection with EMG and ultrasound, where you have your list of muscle that you think that can be, after clinical examination, they can be injecting, and then you can do a kind of verification to verify if the muscle you see under ultrasound are really active or are not active. But anatomy is very important. Also, it's important to know how many muscles are injecting, are at origin, for instance, on the skull, on the neck, and in the other bones. So we need also to know a bit about joints. Even if we are neurologists, we need a little bit to open our view and the muscle skeletal system. I don't know what is your opinion about this, but I think in particular young generation are very curious and they like to use ultrasound. This is my idea.
It's very delightful for me to see your experience and speaking about it. You know, I am new that region about, I am working about 5 years about in the neurology, and lastly 2 years I am working on movement disorders and also using the ultrasound and EMG in the both when it's complicated, when this we have some patient, you know, first we done the injections, it's gonna be cervical dystonia, but patient had not satisfied in that, or it's satisfied below the 50%. And this one we are using in the our clinic, both double guided injections for that patients. Also, in the mostly in the focal dystonia or fast specific dystonia, we are using ultrasound also, because sometimes can be the changing in the muscles, like you say in your conversation, it can be the fibrosis or anything else, to see the forming of the muscles, the fibers, and to avoid the neighbors muscle injections with that things. And also some muscles can be make the same function in the when we make a stimulation, and when we do the ultrasound, especially in the hand, it's really quite precise being injected, and most less unit we are using in the practical.
Yes. This is a very good point you raised. The dosage can be a bit decreased, and you can inject maybe more areas. If you, for instance, if you have generalized dystonia and you have to inject, you can do DBS, for instance, for same region, some regions. And so you can inject also the trunk or a different parts, lower limb, upper limb. So you can reduce and be very... The dosage in the single muscle and be very precise, and so you can help the patient also in this way. But I totally agree that when you have little bellies, muscle bellies are very small, you need the double guide. It's a matter also of experience. So if you have a lot of experience, it doesn't take too much time to use every day the ultrasound. That I like very much, as you can understand. And also the trajectory. Another point is that the trajectory of the needle, when you see very well all the layers of muscle, you can maybe inject a different muscle with just one injection. And so it's less painful for the patient. This is another point that you can... underline when you use the ultrasound, for instance.
Thank you very much for your great conversation. Thank you again for joining us, for that sharing your insights about your experience. And also, do you have any additional question for us or some additional insights for our listeners?
I'm very happy to have been selected for this conversation with the European Academy of Neurologists. I think we should maybe help also in developing this kind of algorithm to help young people to work with the guides, all the guides that we can have. Also, electrical stimulation, you said, can be used. Doing our best work in treating dystonia. Because I think that botulinum toxin can be very, very useful. Sometimes we don't select the right muscles, so maybe we send to DBS patients that can be treated in a better way with the guides. And it happened to me many times that I could improve very much the pattern of dystonia in patients that were considered with a second non-responders, I must say. So. If you select the right muscle, non-responder patient maybe will become responder patients. And so I think we must really work on this subject more, maybe, to help the young generation and to also help our patients, of course.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in and stay with us for conversations at ENCAST Weekly Neurology. Take care and see you next time.
This has been EANcast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. ENCAST Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.